Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Whenever I think with regard to being moved, to begin with, I want us to understand there are some areas spiritually that we need to be moved in. If you're not a Christian, I want you to understand that God wants you to be moved, not in a mystical or miraculous way, but rather God wants to move you from your state of being lost unto a state where that you are saved. And the only way in which that's going to be able to be accomplished is if you have faith in our God by your reading and studying of God's Word, but also in hearing God's Word proclaimed, and then believing and internalizing this, and then allowing yourself to say, I've got to get it from where I am and to move to where God wants me to be. That means that you must confess Christ to be the Son of God. It also, God wants us to be moved continually in our lives. As Christians, we are to be moved in our daily life to properly represent God, but also we are to be moved in our daily life to go out and to proclaim God's message unto the lost and dying world. And maybe you are a Christian that is complacent. You're satisfied where you are. And friends, let me say this, and I say this out of all love with no ill intent to it, is that if you are a Christian that is complacent, that is not where God wants you to be. God wants you to understand is that you must constantly be engaging in life, in the Christian life, being moved for Him, for His sake, in order for you and me to be able to go on to spend eternity in heaven with our God. And therefore, if you are a Christian that is satisfied where you are, I want you to go back. And in going back and looking at yourself, I want you to examine yourself and to say, am I really and truly where God wants me to be at this stage in my life? And what are my plans to glorify God in the future? If you do not have plans to glorify God in the future, then let me say it this way, you're going to fail. You must constantly be saying to yourself, I want to go out in life and engaging in life. I want to engage in such a way that will bring glory and honor unto my God, my Creator, and also that will help His church grow both spiritually as well as numerically. In at least those two areas, God wants us to be moved. However, today I want us to spend some time in speaking about an area in which God does not want us to be moved. We sometimes sing about this song that says, I shall not be moved. And the lesson today kind of goes along with that song based out of what we find with the Apostle Paul from the context of Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and following. What do we understand from the context of the Apostle Paul's life? The context reveals that the Apostle Paul was getting ready to face trouble in his life. I can stand before you today and tell you what I trust that each and every one of you also will understand as you read and study from the Bible, and that is that this is not the first time that the Apostle Paul was going to face trial and trouble in his life and in his relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How did Paul know that these things were getting ready to come upon him, or that something, rather, was getting ready to come upon him? He received revelation from our God. He was not just a typical man living upon the face of this earth, but rather he was a servant of our Lord and Savior, and he was chosen as an apostle. And therefore, God was inspiring him with His words as well as revealing things unto him in regard to who it was that he was to represent as well as the work that he was to be engaged in. But then in like vigor, God showed him from time to time certain things that he would go through for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not only do we understand is that Paul was receiving revelation, others were receiving revelation in regard to the Apostle Paul and things that he would go through. For instance, in this context, the Scripture very directly tells us that the Holy Spirit had revealed things in all of the cities concerning the Apostle Paul. Well, what is it that Paul was going to go through? He did not know exactly what it was that he was going to suffer. He did not understand in a very direct manner exactly what it was that God was going to allow him to go through. But what we do understand is that Paul had it revealed to him is that chains and tribulation awaited him. He was going to be bound. He was going to be shackled. He was going to be arrested, as well as he was going to serve time in prison. Not because he had violated any law from a civil standpoint, but my friends, because he had been in the face of people preaching and teaching Christ, and they were not satisfied with him. They were not really and truly satisfied with the gospel, and that's the bottom line of all things. And because he was the proclaimer of God's word, because he was the messenger, they wanted to shoot the messenger rather than to just knock down the message itself. My friends, I tell you today is that neither one of them would have availed anything whenever they stand before our God in judgment. If they had come against the word of God in a very direct manner and tried to destroy it, as many did and many have even through centuries, that does not take away from the fact that all man will stand in the presence of God to be judged. In this context, we understand is that Paul was going to suffer by being chained, as well as through multiple ways of tribulation. Persecution was going to beset him, going to come upon him. And as a result of what people would say and what people would do, it was going to bring this man great trouble. It was going to bring him great sorrow. But also, having a knowledge of this, what did Paul do? The immediate context says is that Paul was not moved by these things. Well, what does it mean that he was not moved? While it may have troubled him, he did not allow these things to take his focus off of our God. He did not allow these things to move him away from doing what it was that he had been doing and what it was that he had come into Ephesus to do. And what is it that he came into Ephesus to do? To continue to preach and teach Jesus Christ our Lord. To make sure is that the church there was forewarned and forearmed because of the great things that they were facing that eventually would and did lead them away from our Lord and Savior. How is it that Paul was able to make this statement, "I am not moved"? How is it that we find, not only in this situation, but also in other situations with reference to the Apostle Paul's life, is that he did not allow these things to move him away from God? Rather, it seems as if it moved his faith to be stronger in our God. My friends, I believe that there are four anchors to Paul's faith that are given in this context as well as in the broader context of the New Testament Scripture. To begin with, Paul was not moved in this situation or in any other situation away from God because he possessed a sense of destiny. Paul knew that while he was there in Ephesus, is that this was not his final state. In other words, there were other places that he was going to go. There were other things that God was going to do with him and through him as he stood as a servant of our Lord and Savior, even in this situation and beyond this situation. But even beyond that, I stand before you today and tell you with great assurance is that the Apostle Paul understood that above all is that heaven was going to be his eternal abode. And knowing this concerning his destiny, friends, he did not care really and truly what it was that he went through. He knew that all of the things that he had suffered up until this point in time, it was worth it all because heaven is surely worth anything and everything that a person will go through. And now the fact that he was getting ready to go through even more trouble and to be chained and to go through tribulation, Paul says, "I'm not going to be moved because I know my destiny is heaven, to be able to spend eternity in heaven with my God." But my friends, also I believe that we can deduce from this context is that Paul possessed a sense of dedication. From the moment that we see him going for Christ, he doesn't turn back. From the time of which he receives his salvation, at the point of his baptism, he has risen a new creation. He is forgiven of his sins. And man, what we find in regard to this individual is that he is not only a new creation, he is a whole new creature. His attitude is no longer about persecuting those of the way, Christians, but rather he is one of them, and now he's reaching out with full 100% dedication. And somebody might say, "Well, how do you know that he was dedicated to the point of which you're making a sound this morning, Kevin?" My friends, Paul went through as much, if not more, than any disciple of our Lord and Savior went through during the course of which he lived upon the face of this earth. During the time in which he worked as a minister of the gospel of Christ, I don't read in the New Testament Scripture anyone who faced anything that comes close to what this man faced. And therefore, it took dedication in order for him to be able to persevere and to prevail up to this point and even through this point in his life. So much so is that Paul, as he wrote to those in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, that it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life that he lived in faith, in the flesh, He lived in faith due to the fact that Christ was living in him, not in a literal sense, but rather he had allowed his life to be an emulation of the life of Christ. He allowed his thoughts to be the thoughts of Christ. And therefore, my friends, we find a man who was very dedicated in his work, and he was not turning back. But also, I believe that we find another anchor here is that Paul possessed a sense of declaration. What has Paul been doing? He's on his third missionary journey at this point. He has been going about, not once, but three times throughout the world at that point in time. And what is it that he's doing? He's not on a sightseeing tour. He's not out on vacation. He's out working in the kingdom of our God. He's out serving Christ in any and every capacity that he possibly can. He's helping those who are in need. He's making sure that those who are poor, that they have things that they need for their everyday walk of life. But above all, what is it that he is doing? He's telling the world about Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this context, he says that he's preaching the gospel. What does that mean? Euangelion is a Greek word. And it translates literally as that it's the good news. The good news is that man was lost in sin, but they don't die there as long as they come to God in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And my friends, not only was that message good news then, and not only was that message relevant then, that is good news today, amen? And it remains as much important today as what it was back then. As Paul went about preaching and teaching Christ, also we ought to have this sense of declaration upon our mind, upon our lips, constantly in our lives, reaching out to the lost and dying world. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, identifies that he felt a sense of woe if he preached not the gospel of Christ. And shouldn't that be the way in which each and every one of us are as Christians in our lives? Above all, I believe that the reason that Paul was not moved in his faith, the reason that he did not pull back in this situation or other situations that he found, is because Paul possessed a sense of lifelong duties for the Lord. I know that there's an element out there in the world, in the religious world, that says we don't work and there's nothing for us to do, that, and if we do, that we earn our salvation, and God's not about that. Yes, there's no way that we can earn our salvation, but my friends, I do stand before you today, as I've done in other times, and to say what the Bible says, and that is that we are to work. There's a work that we must do in order to become a Christian, and that is to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And God works in heaven, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12, to forgive us of all unrighteousness whenever we obey the gospel of Christ. But even as Christians, Paul realized is that when he was baptized as now, he has to work each and every day of his life for the Lord. My friends, he was doing that whenever he came into Ephesus, and even whenever he is bound in chains, and whenever he goes through these trials and tribulations later on, as he suffers great things at Rome, at the hand of the emperors and at the hands of those authorities who eventually, I believe, have him put to death. What are some questions that we need to take away from and to apply to our lives then? I want to ask you this morning, how would you feel if you knew that troubles were coming? How would you feel if you knew that tomorrow you're going to face one situation or a circumstance that's really going to be trying to you? Or maybe it's not tomorrow, but you know that you have something coming up down the road. How does that make you feel? Do you worry about it? I've been there in my life where that I have a surgery coming up, or that I have this situation coming up, or that situation coming up, and there's been times in my life where I've allowed those things to get the best of me, and I worry about it. Have you ever gone to the point in worrying about it is that you try to do everything that is within your power now to change this or to change that, or to avoid this situation or that situation, because you fear, you have great fear and anxiety over what it is that you're getting ready to go through? My friends, let me say this. Doesn't God want us, though, in all things, whether we know that trials are coming or if we don't know that they're coming, truth be told, they are coming, to always trust in Him, to know that He's with us in the trial, and He will see us through the trial, no matter what it is that we face, and that we need to do everything that we can to prepare ourselves, to go into whatever trials that we may face. And the proper preparation that we can make is to read and study the Bible each and every day of our lives, and to see how God wants us to put Him first, to see how that God is there for us, to see how that God wants us to pray to Him, see how God wants us to lean on Him. Somebody says, it's all about God. And that's true. It is understanding who God is in our lives and allowing God to take control of our lives. And that's certainly what we find to be true, to be characteristic with the Apostle Paul, isn't it? Is that he knew that God had brought him through other things, and God was going to bring him through this, even if it meant leading unto his death. What must we do in order to accomplish this? Do you think daily about our blessings in Jesus Christ? You see, I think that no matter what it is that we go through in life, and I see this with the Apostle Paul, he was getting ready to go through chains and tribulation. And Paul says, you know, it doesn't really and truly matter because I understand of my blessings in Jesus. I've been forgiven of my sins, and I am counted as a child of God. And therefore, even if I die in the midst of all this, my blessings in Christ, they're not just rooted here in this world. My blessings in Christ, they take me to heaven. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where we ought to be. Amen? We ought to be just like that, to say, yes, I understand that I'm blessed as a Christian here in this world, to be able to be counted as a child of God, to be able to be a part of the Lord's church. What a blessing to be able to have His Word and to serve Him daily. Those are certainly blessings in Jesus. But my friends, our blessings, in an ultimate manner, in an eternal sense, are in heaven. And therefore, every single day, I want to encourage you, as I try to do myself, is to count our blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the third question I have today, for our pondering in regard to what we find with Paul not being moved, is, are you completely confident in your Christian faith? Are you rooted and grounded in the truth? Are you 100% sold on the fact that God exists? Are you fully 100% sold on not only the existence of God, but on the fact that the Bible is His inspired Word? Are you 100%, can you rest assured 100% that you are in the Lord's church, and that whenever Jesus Christ returns, whenever those who come out of the grave, and whenever we're all caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and appear before our God in judgment, are you 100% confident in your Christian faith? Is that you are saved? That you're going to go to heaven. Do you know that with full conviction today? Paul did, I believe. And God wants us also to get to that point in our lives. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John writes, "These things I write that you may know." Know what he says? "These things I write that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants us to know whether or not we have eternal life. And today I ask you that question. Do you know that you have eternal life? If not, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay where you are? Are you going to allow yourself to be moved into the state of salvation which God extends in Christ, in obedience to Christ in baptism? The final thing is, can you say with certainty, as a Christian, I will not be moved? If your world fell out from under you tomorrow, would you be moved? If you faced a situation like the Apostle Paul faced, as we read of in this context of Scripture, would you be moved? Maybe the bigger question is this: have you been moved? Have you allowed someone or something, have you allowed yourself to move you away from God If so, understand God is still where He was. It's you who have moved, not God. And therefore, today, do you need to be removed from the situation you're in to be moved back to where God is? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this very hour, we want to invite you to come.